Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 24th of July, 2022. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week Paul looked at another firm foundation with being faithful. The reading is James chapter 1 verses 1 to 18. So let's go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all. Just a note of warning before we do anything else this morning. It's lovely to have you all with us. If you look at the clock and you think it's 6:45, you're wrong. Mainly because the clock stopped and it's wrong. So just to let you know, please, if you normally use that clock, don't go by it this morning. There are just a couple of notices this morning. The notices are as per the notice sheet you have, with two additions. The first is from Bev. Bev, come and share.
I hope you've all got little flyers letting you know about the garden and plant sale that's happening here next Saturday. I hope a nice lot of you will turn up. We've had some wonderful plants donated, and there's some nice wooden garden bird bits and pieces and all sorts like that. In case you're worried about having cash, we will have a card reader, so feel free. Yeah, I know. There's posh, isn't it? So feel free to spend as much as you like, because it's all in aid of the Hope Centre. The other thing is, if anyone would like to make cakes to donate for the occasion, we will be doing refreshments as well. So the more homemade cakes, the better, wouldn't you say, Paul?
I agree.
I thought you would. Good. What else? If anyone would like to help out manning a table or anything, please get in touch with me after the service, or you know, just generally let me know. It doesn't obviously have to be for the whole period, but any time given would be very gratefully received. The other thing is, this is the start of hopefully something big. We're getting together a fundraising team for the Hope Centre, and anyone that would be happy to lend their services towards that, again, please get in touch and we'll get something sorted out. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. So, to remind you, next Saturday, 12 noon till 5, a garden and plant sale in aid of the Hope Centre is going to be held here, and they're going to have a card reader. That's sort of like, wow. The zips, yeah. There's one other quick notice which you kind of will all be aware of. This lunchtime we're going to be holding a church lunch, a kind of picnic style church lunch here in the hall. We won't be in Blenheim Gardens. If you go to Blenheim Gardens for your picnic, you will be by yourself, unless God has told you to go and evangelise those that are already there. But if you're a visitor or you haven't come prepared this morning with any food, don't worry. We have more than enough food. We'd like to invite you to join us. So after the service, if you want prayer or you just want to sit quietly and have a conversation, please stay in the church. But if not, then I invite you to go and share a cup of tea or coffee in the hall. But there is a proviso. This week we will need to clear the hall at about 11:45 so the team that are getting lunch ready can lay tables, etc. So can I invite you to go and get a coffee, and then when we have to clear the hall, if you're still drinking coffee, to invite you to move to another area of the building. And by invite, what I really mean is move. Because in order to make this happen, in order for us to share lunch together, we need to keep out of the kitchen so that those that are getting these things ready for us can do so. Someone's already asked this morning, a person of my own heart said, what time are we eating? The truth is, we're going to try and eat lunch at about 12:30. And in order to do that, we really need your help. Friends, it's good to come together and worship the Lord, to give him the thanks and honour that are due his name. Lorraine's going to lead us in some scriptures.
Good morning, my church family. It's good to see you this morning. And good morning to anyone who is a visitor. It is a privilege to have you as part of our church family, worshipping the one true God this morning. Now, today we're going to look at being faithful. Being faithful. We know that God is faithful to us. What about us being faithful to him? And I don't know how you feel this morning, how busy your week's been, what you've been through. But if we listen to Lamentations, I'm reading chapter 3. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Now, some of you may have gone through that this week. Some of you may have gone through it during your lives. And this is the time, these times, that we need to hold on to our faithfulness in our God, because the writer goes on to say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. So no matter what's gone on, even if you've strayed off or you feel wretched, today is a new day. We can draw the line because our God is here and he wants to meet with you, with me this morning. So we're going to start with an affirmation. We're going to praise our God, even if there is gall in our mouth. We choose to worship him this morning. To God be the glory. Mark is in the building.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, I've never seen so many in. Is something happening today?
Well, it might be.
Yeah, it might be, yeah. Right. Is everyone having a good day?
So
brilliant.
Far, yeah.
If you are under 18 and you have broken up for school, all right, give a cheer. Yes. Not many of you then. If you're at college, all right, and you've still got one day to go, just go, all right. So all the schools have broke up apart from the college, okay. The holidays have started. Have you got plans? Yes. Edward's got plans. Ted, you got plans? I heard you, yeah. All got plans? Well, my plan for the summer holidays is just to have fun. I hope that's the same as yours, okay? But I've also decided, as something's going to be happening, and I'm going to have a bit more time on my hands in the next week or so, I've decided I'm going to get into shape, okay? I've decided I'm going to do some exercises and try and get into shape. So I brought my weights along, okay?
Come on, Mark, pull it up. Come on.
Got me weights. Okay. So, got my weights. Off we go. Right. Am I going to get into shape with these?
No.
What do you mean, no? Why not? They're what? They're too small. So if I keep doing this, I'm not going to build my strength up. No matter how long I stand here, like 25 minutes doing this talk. All right? All right? I'm never going to get stronger. Okay, if these are too small, what do I need?
Bigger.
Glad you said that. Bigger. All right? What?
Bigger?
Okay.
Ready?
Bigger. Right, okay, bigger ones. Are you ready for this? All right. Bigger? Oh, do you know what? I'd love to have the bigger ones, all right? But I've run out. That's the biggest I've got, all right? All right? I need... Yeah, just keep going for the rest of the talk, all right? Okay.
Can we
yeah,
go
it's
up,
not
going to
happen.
Can we go
right?
Higher?
A bit higher, like that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's
Can't
it.
Do that because you've got sweaty patches all underneath.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
Oh, all of them? Oh, my goodness. All right? The only way I'm going to get fitter is if I get harder and bigger weights, isn't it, Ted? I've got to have really big weights. That way I'm going to get stronger and stronger. All right? Now, some people want life to be easy. All right? They don't like it when trouble comes. Okay? They don't like it when life's a bit hard. And the Bible tells us that we should be happy. Happy when hard times come. Who's happy when hard times come? Can't say I'm happy when hard times come. But today's reading says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So the same way that when I've got these big weights, and there's some resistance as it goes up, okay? We need to be happy when we have hard times. Are you? Yeah. I'm not. But when a small problem comes my way, or a small problem comes your way, we should trust God to handle it. And if we let God handle the small bits, the small problems, when a bigger problem comes along, we need to let God handle that as well. And then when a really big problem comes along, if we've tested and trusted in God to do that, he'll be able to help us, and we'll have faith that God will help us in the tough times as well. That's really hard. But if we practice, if we keep persevering and trusting in God, he will look after us in all of our hard times. And I'm looking around here now, and I can see lots of faces who I know are going through tough times at the moment. So let's pray, and let's put our faith in God, because he will bring us through. Lord, I thank you. It's hard to say thank you that you put problems in my way. But I thank you that you do give me opportunities to test my patience and to test my faith and to grow my patience and to grow my faith. And Lord, I just bring all those things that are troubling me and all those things that are troubling us to you now. Help us have faith that you are on our side. And that you are walking beside us and will enable our problems to go away. Or not go away, but we can actually deal with them through your strength. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well done, everyone.
Mark, we're going to sing a song about that, and I think it's one of your favourites. Yeah, you've seen the order of service. And you might have to put your weights down and maybe get some of the youngsters up to help you with some actions to this.
Someone out the back who said that they'd like to come on the stage and do the actions.
Oh, right,
as well.
Who's that?
So if anyone would like to do the actions for my lighthouse, let's go out with a bang. Come
yes,
on, everyone.
Come on, then. All right, then. Let's do it. Let's stand and sing My Lighthouse.
Friends, we're going to turn before the Lord in our prayers of intercession. Three short prayers, really. Do you know, I don't know what you think, but I keep praying for Ukraine. What do I pray for, Lord? What about this moment? How do we pray into today? This morning I was thinking that in my own time of prayer, and what happened was I came across a prayer that the Archbishops of Canterbury and York wrote at the very outbreak of this war. And the prayer of those archbishops then seems as relevant then as it does now. We're going to pray for Ukraine. Let's pray. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all of those who fear for what tomorrow may bring, that your spirit of comfort, wisdom, peace, and truth would draw near to them. We pray for those who hold the power over war or peace. And we declare that you are the one that holds all power. We pray for those who make decisions, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decision. Above all, we pray for all of your precious children, at risk and in fear, that you would hold them and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. It's easy to, in another sense, to sort of think of the world and its health and to think that it's all about COVID and actually to miss things. Those of you that saw the news will know that the World Health Organization have declared the monkeypox outbreak a global health emergency. 16,000 cases have now been reported in 75 countries. And yes, compared to COVID, that is not a lot. But the Lord loves everyone, and the Lord cares for everyone. At the moment, there have been 5 deaths that have resulted from that outbreak. Well, our Lord cares. Let's bring the health concerns of the world before him. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge those statistics that the World Health Organization have released. And Lord, every one of those 16,000 cases is someone that you know and you love and you died for. And so we bring before you, Lord, everyone who this morning is fearful of that outbreak. Father God, we pray that by your grace and in your power, the outbreak may reduce, lessen, and actually be defeated. By your grace and by your power, so that it is to your honour and your glory, we pray. For all of those that have been affected by death, sadness and bereavement, we pray that as they mourn, the peace of the Lord, which passes their and our understanding, would be theirs. The love of the Lord would surround them, and the grace of the Lord would uphold them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then, friends, we pray for 3 of our own. We're going to pray for Richard at Holcombe Baptist this morning. I'm going to pray because Peter went back into hospital on Friday, that God will actually uphold him and the medics would get, not only know the right diagnosis, but that he would return to full health. And we're going to thank God. Because some of you remember recently we prayed for Bruce. Remember praying for Bruce? Bruce, hi Bruce, lovely to see you. Bruce is over there, he's out of hospital. He's kind of needs a bit of building up in prayer. We're going to pray for Bruce's continual strength and for an appointment he's got on Thursday, for his return to Cyprus and for the wisdom of what to do next. Friends, let's pray. Father, we pray for Richard as he leads the service this morning at Holcombe Baptist Church, that you would anoint their time together and bless not just him, but that amazing, lovely community at Halkin. Lord, I pray that he would learn as much about himself, feel as prayed for as he's ever been prayed for. And you would have the glory in all that he brings to them and all that he learns from them. I pray for Peter. Lord, we pray for the medics, the doctors that surround him. And pray that they will be guided by your wisdom, not just to know what to do, but know, Lord, that you are the one that will cure and heal and restore. So we pray for his restoration, for his healing, and for his soon being among us again. And Father, we thank you for answered prayers for Bruce. But Lord, we also pray for him again, for his strength, for his appointment on Thursday, for his sight, Lord, for his return to Cyprus, for the question of what next. My prayer for Bruce, Lord, is that you would give him the undeniable peace of the Lord that says, I am your healer. You will be restored. I am your peace. You will know the way forward. I am your Lord, and you are mine. I bring all of those folk before the Lord, and before I say amen, I ask you in your heart to name before the Lord those who he has put on your heart. Father God, we simply give you all of those we have named in voice or from our heart. And we pray the very best prayer we can pray for all of them. That in their lives, just as in ours, that your will be done, your kingdom would come, and you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we were praying then, it just came to mind how quickly situations and people can be forgotten by us. If it's not in the media, we tend to forget. And I am just so grateful that my God, our God, never forgets anyone. No one and no part of his creation. He sees all. So never give up praying for what God puts on your heart, because it's special and he wants to hear your voice about it. And this next song that we're going to sing together, we're going to take our offering as part of this. If you haven't come prepared, if you're a visitor, please don't worry, let it pass you by. If you want to give a gift, we'll always receive with gratitude. But please don't feel you have to. This is a love offering from this congregation. But also, part of this says, so take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. That's my prayer today. That's my prayer every day. Because I need his strength, not my own. So, Saviour, he can move the mountains. Everyone needs compassion.
This morning's reading is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, and you can follow along on the screen. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
If you see some folks disappearing, don't worry. It's not that they know the sermon's going to last 45 minutes. It's actually that those are the folks that are very kindly going to go and start the preparations for our lunch. As Lorraine said earlier on, I wonder how your week has been. Have you had a really good week? You know the weeks. Everything goes really well. There's no bumps in the road to speak of. Or has it been one of those weeks, you know, where everything you do just seems to go nowhere, where not a lot's happening, where in fact the world seems to be at your, you know, just at your, kind of messing you around somehow, when time seems to slip through the fingers, and we might say that you seem to feel you have to run hard just to stay still. Or maybe your week's been somewhere in between, a bit of both. And even if your week was okay, how's your faith been this week? Have you seen the power of the Holy Spirit break through in your life? Or has the past week been one where once again you come back to church today asking yourself, where was God in the midst of all that was happening? Or again, has it been somewhere in between? I say that because it was only a few short weeks ago that I stood here and declared to this church that I longed for, wanted for, was no longer prepared to accept anything but spiritual solid food. And longed that we didn't have spiritual milk anymore. Lord, feed us in the reality of what you're doing. Well, in that reading we had, James longs for believers not only to hear the truth, but to act on it. He contrasts empty faith, claims without conduct, with faith that works. James argues, if you read the whole of James, that commitment to love and serve is true faith. Living faith makes a real difference. I want to know how that works. Yesterday, me and Lorraine were down here a chunk of the day, and Lorraine went, "Are you going to go home and make a sandwich? I've got a confession. I took a lazy route. Now I'm going to go and buy one." You know the route? So I go to buy a sandwich in the town, it doesn't matter where, and I'm standing there and there's this chap standing beside me and he goes, I know you from somewhere." Okay, not sure where. Anyway, I said to him, "I'm sorry, but I don't know you." And he told me his name and I couldn't work it out. And then he said, "What do you do in town?" "Ah, well, I'm the minister at the Baptist church." No, not there. Don't do church. Where were we met? And then, for the next few minutes, despite the fact he doesn't do church, he started to pour out to me what was going wrong in his life. It was only a few minute conversation, but at the end of it I said, I can think of nothing better to do than to say, can I ask your name? Because by this time he hadn't even told me his name, right? Ask your name, and can I pray for you? And this man that had said, I don't do church, went, thank you. Live in faith makes a difference, doesn't it? And incidentally, I hate to think what the people in the co-op thought, but you get my drift, don't you? If this morning, like me, you seek that spiritual solid food, then you need, as I do, to make sure that your faith is more than just a mere statement. It should result in action. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but I am slightly follically challenged. No, said no. You're my favourite person, whomever that was. Thank you. Over the years, it's true to say that my amazing sort of black, jet black lock of hair has gone grey. And more grey. But it's also true to say that over the past few years, hair of any colour seems to be disappearing at an alarming rate. So much so that Lorraine now does truthfully remind me if we go out in the sun to not forget to put suntan on my head. So I was really interested in an article read in a paper a few weeks ago which promised, and I quote, a revolutionary new product which will promote amazing new hair growth. Brilliant. The ad said to me it would make me feel 20 years younger. Excellent. Well, according to the aging sportsman who tried the product, it really worked. And what it would do is restore my confidence. And despite all the claims of other similar products, this one really worked and was miraculous. I confess I don't believe the claims and I didn't buy the product. But that sort of claim is something we deal with every day, don't we? Messages like that leap at us from the pages of the newspapers or from the TV screens or for our children, that these messages get to them without any sort of filter with online activity and face, snap, chat, what's it. The reality is, friends, they're bombarded with those messages, our young people, day in, day out. Messages that may or may not be truth, but always demand our action. This week I deliberately tried to see how many I got. It was quite a number, but this year I have discovered that for just a few pounds, I too can have cleaner clothes, whiter teeth, more glamorous hair, tastier food. I have to tell you, in this past week, companies have been trying to sell me or sent the message to me that all I need to be really happy is a brand new car, or the right sort of perfume. Whoever it was that sent me that one, I take the hint, I'll shower more regularly. Or a diet plan. Or the right sort of drink. Or mouthwash. And in one way, shape or form, they all guarantee to bring me happiness, friends and a good life. And then, please don't get me started. You've got me started. Don't get me started on what the politicians of every political persuasion promise to be able to do for me and help me with when they want my vote. Time and time and time again, our young people are bombarded with that sort of message. But frankly, friends, talk is cheap. And too often we realise, don't we, that the boasts they're making are hollow. They're far from the truth. It's against that background that you and I stand, like my man next to me in the co-op, talking to non-believers. And we tell them, Jesus is the answer. Believe in God. Come to church and hear the madman on a Sunday, or whatever it is you say. You and I, Christians, also make great claims. But James says, in order to make those claims and to make them stick, we have to make sure that we don't belie the truth with our actions. What we say is important, but it's got to be backed up with who we are. If you want to feed on spiritual truth, on the spiritual reality of solid fruit, if we want to ready ourselves for the amazing Holy Spirit to break forth in this place, then over the last few weeks I've become convinced of something. So here's my follow-on. We must be faithful to our amazing Lord, and we must stand. We must stand in that gap. James is writing to all Christians everywhere and saying, if you want to mature, you must stop being hypocritical. You must stop professing to trust God to be his people and then cling tightly to the world and to its values. You must stop professing all the right answers and then contradicting them with your life. So let's be crystal clear. Society, culture, and the political structure of today all claim that they speak the truth. But if any of them contradicts what Scripture says, then they're lying. Society says it's okay if you earn more than you put on your tax return, if you cheat the tax man, if you've got some inventive, clever accounting system to show us how clever you are. Culture says that it's okay for celebrities to take what we might call, to treat marriage like a disposable consumable. Getting married for the sake of fame and then having to share the pain of their divorce after only a few months on the cover of a magazine, normally for a large fee. Money rules, says culture. Politics says it's okay for truth to be bent, for personal gain to be made out of the office you hold. The list goes on and on and on. But Scripture doesn't share those views. Romans 13:7 says this. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And we could go on and on and on and on. But you get the point, don't you? I want to eat spiritual, solid food, and I want to stand for my Lord. What about you? If you do, then the reality is we have to stand and speak against those things that claim to be truth, but are lies and are contrary to the word of God. Stand. Because if for no other reason, did you know this? You are a role model. You are a role model for all of those children in this church to follow. We need to show them Jesus, don't we? Well, you ain't so sure, but I am. We need to show them Jesus, and we need to stand. That's what James is urging us to do. He's writing to a group of Christians scattered throughout the Mediterranean world. And he reminds them that in the hostile surrounding, it's easy to let intellectual arguments pass for true faith. He writes to them, what a lovely opening. If you got this letter, would you read any further when it says in verse 2 to 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What a great opening statement in a letter. But did you notice? It doesn't say if you face trials, but whenever you face trials. If we stand for the living Lord, then the question is not will we face trials, but rather when. James assures us that we'll all have trials, personally and collectively, but that it is possible, as Mark said earlier on, to profit from them, for faith to grow, and for the Spirit of the Lord to have his way among us. How? Well, James's point is not that we pretend that we're happy when we face pain. Here's the truth. You are all, I'm sure, not like me. I don't mind going to the dentist, but I don't really like the injection when they do a filling. And so the dentist, it is true to say, if the dentist is listening, I'm going to confess. And since I've got an appointment with the dentist on Monday, I'll find out quick, won't I? But the reality is that the dentist says to me, if I need work doing, do you want an injection, Paul? No, I'm all right. Absolutely. And then, of course, the next thing is, are you okay? I'm okay. I'm smiling through the pain. Those of you that have got an image, it's a true image. But the reality is, of course, I'm in pain. And that's not the sort of thing James means, not that false mask. Because incidentally, the world knows it's false. But rather, James says we should have a positive outlook even when we're facing those moments. That's why he says consider it pure joy, not consider it pure happiness. It's okay, Tanya, it's all right, honest. Not because we face trials, but because of what those trials can produce in our life. James says, turn your hardship into learning and growth. Tough times into perseverance. Bluntly, we really don't know the depth of character we have until we see how we react under pressure. It's easy to be kind to others, isn't it, when everything is going well. But what about when they're treating us unfairly? God's plan is to make us mature and complete. That's what he wants to do. That's why I'm saying we should stand. Because that's the way that we can feed on spiritual solid food. Not to keep us all from pain, but to help us all to grow. So try this for today. Instead of complaining about our struggles, we should see them as an opportunity for growth. I know it's tough. But this morning, if you've had a bad week, or if there are things in your life that need sorting out, that are tough, then simply do this. Thank God that he's there with you, even in the tough things. Ask him to be with you, to help solve the problems and the issues, to give him the strength, to give you the strength you need to endure. And be patient, and I promise you that God won't leave you alone with your problems. Rather, he'll help you in them. Now, how do I know that? James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Note, there's no it might be. It will be, James says, given. Now, by wisdom, James is not just talking about our knowledge, but about our ability to make wise decisions in different, difficult circumstances. Wisdom, doesn't it, comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Have you ever heard the phrase, out of the mouths of babes? That phrase, in regards to wisdom? Oh, certainly, many of you have. It comes, doesn't it, from the simple truth that sometimes it takes a child to reveal lasting wisdom. The phrase, in one sense, seems foolish, but it isn't. I want to show you what I mean. These are all from 10-year-olds. Hope you get that. This is what Patrick said when asked to show what's wisdom. What does he think wisdom is? This is what he said. Never trust the dog to watch your food. Isn't that real wisdom? What about Michael? When your daddy's mad and asks, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. Seems good wisdom to me. Or Andrew, puppies still have bad breath even after eating a Polo mint. That's a philosophical one there somewhere, isn't it? Or Tanya, she's 11, she says, when your mum is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Great philosophy coming from these children, isn't it? Or Joel, my personal favourite. I can see Joel and I can see his sister already when I say this. This is what Joel says. Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a cricket bat. Joel's on the money for me. Or another favourite. This is the wisdom of children, okay? You'll all know that this is the absolute thing you have to do. And to every child that's listening or in the building, I say this. Take careful note. Because Peter's advice to you is vital. This is what he says. Never tell your mum her diet's not working. great wisdom, isn't it, from these children. Okay. But we can go one better than the wisdom of a child. Because whenever we need wisdom, the God of eternity, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, generally supplies us with what we need. You and I, friends, don't have to grope in the dark, hoping that we stumble upon the answers. We can ask God for wisdom, and He will guide our choice. Wisdom means practical discernment. It begins with respect for God, and it leads to right living. And it results in an increased ability to tell right from wrong. And wisdom is what will help us to stand. It is that simple. But wisdom does call for us to be mature. God is willing to pile His wisdom into the life of this church, but will be unable to receive it if our goals are self-centered instead of God-centered. We center ourselves on the Lord. We lean into His word, and He gives us His wisdom. This morning, the Lord is calling this church, I firmly believe, to stand for Him and to believe that no matter what follows, He has our backs. He's asking you and I not just to make our faith a Sunday thing, but a whole life reality. In this place, let's declare right here and now, the Lord wants it to be His way, not our way. If you read on a bit from where Laura finished, verse 27 says this, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Did you notice it's a kind of double-edged command? Not just to put our faith into action, but to commit ourselves by command to go the way of God. To stand and not be polluted by the world. So this morning we're going to end in prayer. To commit ourselves once again to Jesus and His ways. To commit ourselves to Christ's ethical and moral systems and not the world's. We need not to adapt to the world's value system based on money, power and pleasure. We need to stand and say, this is the Lord's way. This is true faith that says this is the good news of the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ came, died, rose again, and will come once again to judge the world. Because this morning, we surely need to rely upon the love of the Lord. Rely upon the compassion of the Lord. Rely upon the grace of the Lord. Rely upon the truth of the Lord. Rely upon the wisdom of the Lord. And just simply stand. Amen. Let's pray, friends. Father God, as I read that awesome passage of James, written by Jesus' brother, His call to the church He writes to and to Christians for all time and everywhere is that we simply stand. So this morning, either in your heart or in your seat or by standing or by sitting or by kneeling or by responding the way that the Lord has called you to respond this morning, I invite you to commit yourself to standing for the Lord. Do what He tells you, when He tells you, how He tells you, and stand. And as Lord, we take our hearts, as we maybe raise to our feet, as we kneel, as we lie before You, as we quiet, as we discern what You're saying, as, Lord, You give us the words of prophecy to speak forth. Whatever You're up to, Lord, in our lives and in the life of this church, we simply say, Thy will be done. We will stand for the Lord. And so, in all ways, in every way, Lord, be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. More than that, though, we can simply pray that the Lord will speak. So let's do that. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we're not alone, that we're not orphans, that we're not, Lord, we're not far from you. We thank you that you're right here, right now, right with us, right away. We thank you, Lord, that you are right. We thank you that your ways are not the world's ways. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a spirit of discernment, of power and love and truth. We thank you that we are your children. And Lord, this morning we give you permission to speak into our lives so that we would hear. We give you, Lord, the authority to change and manage and control us and bend us and make us and shape us. We give you, Lord, complete and utter authority and control over our lives. Because there is no other way but to follow Jesus, to listen to his call, to come, to wait, to go, to follow. And our Lord, our prayer, our heartfelt prayer this morning is that you would speak and we would listen and this church would stand and the walls would come down and the world would know because you have first spoken. And so, Lord, we cement that reality in worship and spirit and truth as we simply say and simply worship, speak, O Lord. So, Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would take the highest honour, you would take the highest praise, that you would be glorified. Speak, O Lord, that we may glorify you, and you would take all the honour. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do things a little differently. We're going to go back to a song. I haven't told the group this yet, but we're obviously still waiting for the youngsters. They're going to come and join us for reasons that will be obvious in a while. Who knows where they are? Hey, they're on their way. But I wondered if we wait for them, whether we sing Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord. And I know that's going to cause chaos, so I'm going to fill the gap a bit if that's true. But that song reminds us that we wait upon the Lord. And as we do so, it's his strength that builds us, his strength that supports us, his strength that surrounds us, his strength that upholds us. Let's worship, friends, and sing Strength Will Rise. Father, we thank you that whether we're young or old or anywhere in between, that you are the one that lifts us up on eagle's wings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, can I invite you just to take a seat? Mark, of course, it's his last Sunday next Sunday. Okay, and you're thinking, why on earth are we doing things today? Well, the answer is because, as he said earlier on, it's the school holes. And so a lot of our families will be on holiday next week. And we didn't want them to miss the opportunity of doing something, which is actually, on behalf of us all, of thanking Mark. So if he's trying to hide, he won't get away with it, because I'll just keep talking. Oh, fair enough. Come on up. And just to let her know, if Sally thought she was going to get away with it, she's not going to either. So come on up here. Come on up, guys. And lots of people wanted to say thank you, so you're going to have a lot of thanks, okay?
Oh, good.
Just to let you know. It's quite good.
Yeah, it's good.
You're probably better off going that side. Is that all right? Because
have you got a chair?
No, more particularly. Oh, I was thinking more particularly, I can see a child going down the stairs, you know what I mean? And guys, it would be true to say that I include me and Lorraine in this, that this amazing couple in Mark's time of ministry here, well, let's start another way around. We're going to be blessed. Because Mark may be doing a different role, but you guys are still going to be part of the worshipping community here. And that's awesome. But it would be true to say for many of us that over our time here, you've touched our hearts. And I know I speak for many, yeah?
Yes.
There you go. And we couldn't let this moment pass, therefore, without to you both and to you, Mark, saying thank you. We just couldn't do that. So that's why the tea. That's why I've even made something for the tea. How about that?
What was going on?
Yeah, so you knew well. You knew well. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to tell you what, because everyone will avoid it. But you get my drift, don't you? And we wanted to say thank you. And so we could think of no better way than starting by thanking you as a church. So I'm going to invite Margaret and Paul in, if they'll come forward, if that's okay. And on behalf of us as a church, to thank you. Now, guys, do you want to say anything, or do you just want to get on with it? Just want to go, okay.
Yeah, it's a real privilege for me to be able to present to Mark the gift that you have all contributed to and are contributing to. It's not too late. We want to say a huge, huge thank you to Mark and Sally. They have done so much for us. Things that are seen, but I see a lot of the stuff that isn't seen as well. And it's just amazing how much they've done for us and for our young people, through youth club, through fire starters, through the hub management team, in starting Oasis over this last 12 months, in the work that Mark has done on our behalf in the community and on God's behalf in the community. There's a lot of stuff there that you don't see. Mark is amazing. He does amazing work in our community. So Mark and Sally, we've clubbed together and bought you a massive present, but I've managed to squeeze it into this little tiny envelope.
Thank you so much.
And on behalf of the youth club, your PA there has been working really hard, but she was slightly nervous about coming up, so she passed it on to me. But I have been going to the youth club for the last few weeks, and when you think 8 years they've been nurturing those children, helping them to become adults, and really giving them God's love while they play very silly games. You've noticed Mark limping. Absolutely. And he asked me not to tell Sally what he was doing last Friday, so I won't. Someone might, but they haven't been asked not to tell Sally. So on behalf of from the youth club, thank you so much. Woo.
Do I get a hug?
For you both.
Be back in a minute.
Well, that was a quick exit, wasn't it? He's coming back, honestly. If you're watching online, he's definitely coming back, I promise. Here he is.
She's my PA. I couldn't do anything without Kaylee.
Because it's true to say that the church, that the youth club aren't the only folk that wanted to say thank you. Fire starters in particular did. And I'm going to hand it over here. I think we've got a card. It's Teddy. Have I got that right? Teddy, where are you? Teddy, on behalf of all of those, has got got a present for you, a card for you. Mark, as this happens, can I pinch the card? Just the church don't know what we've got you, but this funny-looking thing here is a shepherd's hut. You guys are going to the shepherd's hut for your anniversary. So we, dear church, just let you know, we're going to give you the money so you can go and enjoy that. That's what that's actually about. So
thank
you. I've got alpacas in the. Okay. Just give us the dates and we'll do two things. We'll pray for you while you're there, and since you're believing with alpacas, we'll steer clear of you when you're back.
Thank you.
Ollie. You're coming up with me, I think, aren't you? Going to give Mark a present for us? That's what I was told. Ollie, is it? Have I got it wrong? Now, Mark, we demand that you open this here and now, but the reality is our young people want you to give you something which we thought was just for you. But, yeah, and you have to open it now. It's hopefully good. Oh, sorry, there is one more card. I forgot the card. So sorry. Luke. Dear.
Yes.
But friends, that's only half a story, because it's true to say Mark could not do what he does unaided or alone. And so, Timber, I know you're going to come and help us here a little. You need to come down there, though. You'll see what I mean. I promise you. That's them. Because in truth, Mark, we realise that behind every good man, there's definitely a better woman. And so, Sally, we just wanted to say thank you to you. Now, you have the right to reply, should you wish, my friend.
Like a little bit, yeah. A little bit. Gang, I'm going to get the shirt. The shirt. Right. Let's just put it there for you all to see. Yeah, it's good. All I want to say is, who bought this? All right, because there was one Christmas where Lorraine asked me to get a surprise for Paul with Brighton and Hove Albion, and I get clicks on my Facebook and memory now for Brighton Football Club every month. So for the next year or so, you're going to get Aston Villa pop up on your feed. And I get no greater pleasure than knowing that. Right? That is really good. That's good news. I don't quite know what... We're not going away. All right. So actually our work, my paid work and Sally's voluntary work with the youngsters at the moment will be stopping, yes. But we won't be stopping and nurturing and caring for young people and this church, because we're still going to be here. And I've heard lots and lots of things about we don't want a new Mark, and we don't want to replace Mark, or we can't replace Mark. You can't, right? You can't. There is only one of me. But there are some bits of me I'd like you to look for in your next person who's going to do this role. And that's someone who really cares for young people and fights for young people within church and really nurtures young people in their lives within the church. Someone who's not really that interested in becoming a minister, or who wants to actually use the youth work as a way of developing into a proper minister with adults. I want someone who's got a passion for young people now, because all through my life, people have said, Mark, you've got a calling. You should be a vicar. You should be a minister. And I always told those people, I've got a calling, and it's working with young people. And working with young people is not a second-class calling. All right? It's a first-class calling. And you as a church, I am so grateful that you've enabled me to fulfill that calling in God's name. So thank you so much that I was able to fulfil God's calling on my life to work, to nurture and to pray for the young people and children of this church. Thank you.
You don't quite know how much it cost me, because it's the brand new 2022-23 season shirt in order to make sure that we got it here today, because the delivery date was next week. But the people that got their shirts first were AVFC members.
Yes!
So, I have made the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes!
Okay, and I've got to tell you, I'm catching the membership later. Friends, it's just good. It's good to acknowledge the reality of what Mark said. Our younger people do matter. They are important. They're significant in this church, and we take that with the heart and the love it's meant. But it's also true to say we can do one more thing, can we not? We can pray. It's the most important thing we can do. It's why we've left it to the end. And actually, I know this might mean I'm going to get off the stage and ask one or two of you to come and just pray with these guys. And just to say, we want to thank them before God and praise them for what they've done in the sense of under God. But also say God's not finished and the Abbey's going to be blessed. Could a couple of you come and pray with Mark and Sally and lay your hands on them? That would be brilliant. And if it's all the church, that's okay. I'll go down there. You can come up here. Sally, you might want to put the flowers down, though, I think. Oh, sorry, not letting go. I was just trying to think of you and holding them, actually, but there we go. Guys, should we go gather and pray? Please don't be shy. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for Mark and the person he is under you. We thank you that you have made him unique and that this church has been privileged because of the work he has done here. But we also thank you that he's not done yet. We thank you for that reality. But Lord, what can we say? But thank you for the blessing. And pray that he would be blessed too. Friends, as God gives you words, just lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you that Mark has been such a real blessing to our church over these last few years. And Lord, we thank you that you're not taking Mark away from us. And that he will continue to be a blessing to us here. And Lord, we pray for Mark as he moves on to his new role. That you will bless him in that, and that he will love the work he goes to at Lee Abbey, and will be welcomed there and loved there as he has been here. And Lord, we thank you for the work that Sally has done for us well. And we pray for both of them, as they lay things down, that you will give them a sense of peace as they lay things down, and the knowledge to know what to take on as well. Lord, we thank you for them both. Amen.
I just want to thank you, Lord, that Mark and Sally have not only treated all our young people like first-class citizens, but reminded us of the importance of our wonderful, wonderful young people. And Lord, we know that the ground and work that they've done will not come back unanswered. And we pray, Lord, that the work and the lives that they've had a part of, and we also pray that we're continuing with our young children, and may we never forget them.
And so, Mark and Sally, we can do no better than use the words of Scripture for you and for us. The writer of Hebrews says this: it is our prayer for you. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us, you and us, what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, whether at Lee Abbey, Mark alluded to this in a moment ago, whether at Lee Abbey or here, we'll all need God's vision So we're going to sing, we're going to pray that now, sing that now rather, as we worship together. Be thou my vision. Keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening and I'll speak to you soon.